Good evening, everyone. My name is Turk Akbay. This is an ASAP call done for Larry Goins Inner Circle students. We do these calls twice a month, first and third Monday. So the next call is going to be on the 16th. We start at 9 p.m. We go for about about an hour or so. The part of these or the purpose of these calls are not necessarily specific to real estate deals, but it is kind of a personal development for you. Again, my name is Turk Akbay. I actually do coaching and consulting. I invented a product called Subliminal Coaching, and I do other things. And I helped Larry a few years ago, 14 years now, kind of organize his business, take his game to the next level. So he asked me to kind of help his investors, his students, to get the results that they want to get. And so these calls are for that. What we're working on is developing or helping you develop, giving you tools to be better investors. And then you kind of apply these to your day-to-day games. I've done real estate investing as well, but your specific real estate deal-based questions, those are for other calls that Larry does on the second and fourth Monday. So next week would be more deal-specific about, hey, can you check this deal out and things like that. My expertise, I'm using the term loosely, is to kind of on human development, human psychology, and personal development. So these are what I cover on these calls. In the past, in a few months when we were doing these calls, sometimes a few of the sticklers that's really the investors are having problems with is how to prioritize it, how to organize their time, how to organize their days, and things like that. And I realized that that may be a good idea to kind of cover to help you with those things. Right now, you're not on mute. If you're in a noisy place, you can mute yourself. If it gets too noisy, then I'll go ahead and mute everybody out. And then once we start kind of, I'll kind of flow a little bit. And then I'll open the floor for your specific questions about the subject that we're talking about or anything else that you wish to talk about. First of all, is there anybody, before we start talking, do you have any pressing issues that you'd like to cover, address, or anything like that? Do you have any suggestions? I'll take, your suggestions from that. If not, I'll just go with what I had planned. So any of you are in need of an immediate issue that you're dealing with that you need help with? Cool.
Organization. Right. I'm sorry. Organization. Long with time management. Organization.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Perfect. Anyone else? All right. So let's talk about the time management, right? We'll cover this a couple times ago. And also, if this is your first call or if you missed the other calls, you can certainly contact customer service at Larry Goins, and then they are actually sending the recordings the next day. They're archiving these calls, so you'll be able to have access to them as well. So time management, oftentimes people think that the purpose of time management is to do more things in a given time. In actuality, the purpose of time management is to free up your time. What that means is you as an investor, you want to do a few of the things that you're good at and then be able to delegate everything else that are less valuable. And when I say less valuable, I'm not saying they're unimportant, but things that others can do better than you or things that others can do cheaper than you. So it is true that I can call my customers and talk to them and I'm the best person to make those phone calls. However, if I have let's say, if I'm much better on sales, or if selling is the most important part of my work, what I want to do is I want to delegate everything else in that process so I can do what's the most valuable thing for me. One of the things that we've covered earlier on the calls is about being able to prioritize the things that are valuable for you. Now, when you're an investor, especially if you're doing real estate investing, especially if you're new into the game, you're essentially doing all the things. I remember, like, thinking about designing the signs and developing the marketing, going knocking on doors, trying to generate some leads, working on my sellers list. It's a whole craziness. But that's where the money is, right? And I'm not saying where the money is, you're doing more things. What I mean is, as an investor, what you get paid for, what we get paid for, is fixing a problem. So you look at something that either somebody is doing ineffectively, inefficiently, or you create value of, you know, rehabbing or something that you're doing that solves a problem, and that's how or that's where you make your money from. So bigger the problem you solve, bigger the money that you make. This is a universal rule that people who are making big money are the people who are solving big problems. If you're solving little problems, you get little money. So it's in your interest as an investor to start solving big problems. Now, of course, you are where you are. And so everyone can only surf their wave. So what you want to be working on is first is how to manage your time enough so you can free up your time, so you can learn better skills. So the idea is not to fill up your calendar minute by minute, although I will talk to you about the organizing. The idea of time management is to free up your brain power so you can think and or you can learn the skill set that is going to pay you the most dividends. So whatever your real estate game is, whether you're a bird dog, or a wholesaler, or if you're keeping the properties for rentals, whatever that is irrelevant. What is important for you is what skills that you're going to need to play that particular game. Does that make sense? Good. So what we want to do is when you're looking at it as an investor, skill sets that you're looking for is, or not necessarily skill sets, but the part of your investor responsibilities are, we'll go from overall overview into specifics. You want to understand how to market. So marketing, of course, goes in buyers and sellers and all that, right? So marketing is one of your must-do skills. Your next and important, again, another one, is running the numbers, being able to analyze deals, understanding what number means what, how to evaluate a deal or not deal, where you should be. And these are all the equations and things Larry is giving to you. But you want to remember that your market is going to be specific to you. If you live in Charlotte, North Carolina versus Las Vegas versus Seattle versus Dallas, these are all rules of thumbs. You don't want to pigeonhole yourself into something that is not applicable to you. Now, I'm not suggesting that making the things to fit to you because you don't want to learn new skills. But what I'm suggesting is you must learn your game because only you are responsible for your success. Only you know your game. Only you know your experience. Only you know your feelings, what comes to you easily, what comes to you with a great stress, with great struggle. So when you sit down with yourself, by yourself, when you're thinking about these things, you want to think, okay, I gotta have a good marketing. I got to understand numbers. I got to know money. I got to know communication, meaning that being able to speak to people, whether it's your buyers or sellers. So you want to make a big list of all these skill sets that's necessary for you to be successful. Once you have a list, and this should be at least a page long. So yes, you can say marketing, but then what you want to do is you want to kind of go, okay, I need to be a good marketer to buyers, to sellers, to renters, to rehabbers, to rehab people. So you see what's going to happen. You're going to go from overview into a much fine-tuned list. So now you have a list of 20 items, 50 items, 60 items, whatever it is. You have a list of all the skill sets you as an investor, or all the things you as an investor are responsible for. When you look at this list, a few things will happen. Some of the items, it's going to be quite boring. Some of the items are going to be super exciting. Some of the things that you'll have no clue, it's going to be absolutely, you look at it, you go, holy crap, there's no way that I can do all this. So what will emerge from this list is three or four pile of items, things I like to do, things that I don't like to do, things that I would enjoy doing, there's no way in hell that I want to do those things. So what you're working on is, since as an investor, your most valuable skill is your brain power, you being able to recognize the deal or being able to go do things. When you have your list of things that you want to do, things that you don't want to do, you'll be able to kind of organize your days and weeks and your months according to these skill sets that you need to acquire, things that come to you naturally. What I mean by that is this. I can have 100 items to do. Let me see what was my items today. I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. I had 19 items to do today. Some of them involving sending an email to Larry, going to grocery shopping, sorting out photos from my vacation, buying a dog food, all the way to adjusting my calendar, preparing for this talk, and all these kind of things. None of these really matter to me, or I may not be able to get any of these if I woke up this morning and I have ear infection. Or I may be planning on sending a whole bunch of emails today, but if, you know, Time Warner or Spectrum is having a problem in my area and I don't have access to internet, I won't be able to get to it. So what we're looking for is this pile of things that you're working on has to match your abilities at the time that you're trying to do things. If you're in a really crappy place, that you're absolutely brain dead, that you have no, absolutely just your brain is fried for whatever reason, well, that would not be a really good time for you to look at your list and say, okay, next item on my list, which is the most important thing for me to do today, is run the numbers. Why? Because you're not going to be successful. If your brain is fried, and you're trying to run the numbers, it's just not going to happen. You can pretend that it's happening, or you can check it off your list, but you're not going to be able to give it the necessary brain power that it's necessary for you to be successful on that front. So does that make sense? That are you following the theme of what we're doing? Time management involves what you're able to do as well, what you can at the given time, that what's your brain power, and then what you're capable of doing at any moment. So working from a list that is just kind of a task list is actually sometimes counterproductive to you as an investor, because then you're trying to push a round peg into a square hole. Now, the first thing that you want to do is really, well, the one thing that I do, let me put it this way, is I have my list of things that I'm working on. So when I get up in the morning, when I'm done with my meditation, when I'm in a brain, I know my daily schedule. I'm really good in the mornings, and I'm absolutely like a vegetable between 12 and 4 o'clock. And then I pick up another burst of energy from 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. And then I'm really good between 10 and midnight. So I know this because I write it down on my notebook for an entire week of how I feel during the day, because each of us have a different body clock. That you, and if you start writing down, hey, I'm feeling really strong right now, or I'm really lethargic right now, or after lunch I kind of need a nap. So if you know these things for yourself, and then you have your list of things that really matter to you, you can actually start plugging those things in those areas. And so you can actually speed up your process of developing the things, skills that you're developing. And then when you're kind of in a tired state, you can do those things that doesn't require any brain power. If you have money, best use of your money is making your money work. I mean, that's what investing is. So if I can delegate something to someone, and that's actually cheaper for them to do it than I won't touch that project, meaning that I will spend the money, invest the money, make that money buy another person's time for me, just like Larry is doing with this, right? So he's buying my time to help you. And then hopefully you're taking this knowledge to kind of expand your knowledge. So the thought process that you're working for is organizing your day based on your body clock and your free time and the importance of things that you're doing. Does that make sense to all of you or some of you, or are there any questions while we go?
Yeah, that's all the same.
Perfect. Any questions? Okay. So if there are no questions, let's talk about the prioritizing. So how do we prioritize what's important for us? The way that I look at it is what's going to give me the biggest payout? What is the maximum return on my investment, right? ROI. So for me, once I have a list of things that I want to do, so if you're a house flipper, I think the most important thing for me, if I'm wholesaling houses, would be my buyers list. Because the key to being a flipper or wholesaler is you have to have someone who has money to buy that house from you as soon as you have it. So then I will make a list of all the things that I have to do or needs to be in place for me to have a really good buyer's list. So that may be working with investors, going to RIA meetings, sending emails, calling on people that I know, cultivating these lists, And once I have those things, it may be, maybe once a week that I'm going to call all these people that I know. Maybe once a month, I'm going to send them a postcard. If I'm trying to learn a skill set, let's say that I have how to do these things, I want to make a list of all the peoples that I want to take to lunch. In the investor world, man, lunch is the key. Like, if you take a teacher to a lunch, they'll give you all the knowledge that you need. So then I have a list of lunch people, right? And then if I need to learn numbers, where do I get the numbers? Do I need to read a book? Do I need to go more hands-on? Do I need to learn Excel sheets? Do I need to learn how to make a spreadsheet? Do I need to actually, you know, call Larry and get the CD from him? So all these lists, once I have them, I'm able to plug these things into my calendar, into my schedule. I try to think once a week. So I work on my list once a week, usually on Sundays, for about 2 to 3 hours, between 2 and 4, or in the evening. I go ahead and look at my master list of all the things that I want to do. And then based on those, I'm able to look at my week, and I'll plug in 2-3 things that I want to do each day that is going to get me the biggest yield. One of the challenges that we humans have, unfortunately, is we always overestimate what we're able to do in about a week or a month in a year time. But we always underestimate what we're able to do in 5 years. So if I have a big list that overwhelms me, I'm not going to look at it because it's going to overwhelm me. So the idea is to really make things fun for yourself so you can actually do it. Because if it's not fun, you won't do it. If it's not fun, I won't do it. So the idea for me is, what can I do that's actually fun, and when can I do it when it's actually fun for me to do? Now, it's never a fun for me. It's never fun to figure out a rehab cost because I suck at it. So I work on what can I do to delegate that, or I can think, I can say to myself, you know what? I want to develop that skill set. I want to be able to walk through a house, and I want to be able to say, yep, it needs floors, it needs to dead body removed, that attic definitely needs this, and being able to run those numbers. So now I can spend the next month, I can spend the next 90 days, I can spend whatever time that it's required for me to get that skill set. But while I'm doing it, I know where that knowledge is going to go. So it's true, everything kind of is a little bit sucky at first when you're not good at it. But once you start that momentum going, it's going to get you the skills that you want, and it's going to get you going to be better at it. And as you get better at it, it's going to be fun. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool. So those are the things that, you know, when I talk about time management, organizing, those are the things that how I do it. I always control, I do one single place for all my tasks or items. In other words, I have a notebook that's 300 pages. I number them. That's how I know I'm a little bit geeky. I use a single calendar, all my appointments. All the things that has a time stamp are entered into the calendar right then. I know my appointments. If I'm getting an oral surgery, then I know it's next Tuesday at 8:15. That's on my calendar. I have a phone call first and third Monday at 9 p.m. That's on my calendar. My wife's birthday is on calendar. I have to take my dogs to somewhere, that's on a calendar. If it has a time stamp, immediately goes onto the calendar. Everything else that requires more than one step and or it doesn't have a timestamp, it goes into my notebook. I usually use a normal size notebook. Oftentimes I've seen people using small notebooks. That's totally fine. And the idea of the notebook for me is a brain dump. When a new idea comes into my mind, no matter what it is, I put it into my book. Like, for example, let me see what I have on. The latest item I have is move out of storage, clean garage, go to downtown, right? So I go, I got to move out of storage. I put it in here. I got to clean the garage. It's there. This is my inbox. I start on my notebook on the far at the end of it, from the right side, moving towards to the front. So this is, buy batteries. It's in there. Pick up dry cleaning. It's in there. I'm not putting that on my calendar yet. All I'm doing is I'm simply dumping these things in here to the back of my notebook. So on Sunday, when I have free time, and this doesn't have to be Sunday. You could do it any time. I look at all these things that I got to do. Buy AAA batteries. Move out of storage. Organize meals, instructional emails. Hire a consultant for Podio. Get doggy bandanas. Learn kiteboarding, right? So tomorrow, I can't learn kiteboarding. That's going to be a vacation thing, right? But tomorrow, when I'm brain dead in the lunchtime, I can buy AAA batteries. I can call my storage. Does that make sense? So what will happen is once I dump all these things here, I don't have to put it on my brain power anymore. So all I'm doing is I'm creating a list for me to work on. So once everything is on my inside of my book, from the normal, as normal people use their notebooks, I start each day. I have the top of the day calendar, 2nd of October, and I go, these are the 2-3 things that I need to do. And I try to cover those things based on, again, I know that I need to learn a new skill. I know that I need to do a couple things. And, of course, I got to buy dog food because my dogs will starve. So that would go in here. So notice that there is not on my calendar. My calendar only holds my appointments. Some of the appointments that I may have, if I'm as an investor, it may be making phone calls, right? So if I'm going to dial for dollars, I'm going to put that on my calendar for tomorrow between, let's say, at 11 and 1 o'clock. I'll say calls. So in that time frame, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not driving. I'm not looking AAA batteries. I'm not thinking about moving out of storage. I'm making my phone calls. And once it's on my calendar, that's a sacred time spot for me. And once that's done, I'm done. In other words, if my calls are done or on that time frame, next time that I'm going to make my phone calls are going to be next time I have it on my calendar. So that may be at 5 o'clock tomorrow. That may be, a 4 days from now. Or if I'm new, it may be every day between 10 and 1. Does that make sense? So my list, master list, has all the things that pops into my little 10,000 monkey brain. Goes in there so I don't have to think about it. And my calendar has all the things that it has to be done in specific times. So all I have to do now is when I have a free time, I look at my calendar. When is my next thing in 2 hours? How do I feel right now? I feel pretty good. Now I can open my notebook and I say, hey, I have 2 hours. I can go ahead and knock this out. I can go ahead and learn this. I can read that book. I can make that those things that's important for me. And then that's the quickest way to knock off that big, you know, 10 million item task list. Otherwise, we get overwhelmed, our brains short circuit, and then we don't do anything. I don't know if that happens to you, but it's often people will spend a whole day trying to figure out what they need to do, and they're not able to do anything but just keep checking CNN, CNN, CNN. That's just your brain is just saying, I can't deal with all that stuff right now. I'm going to stick to something easy. So what time management is, life management. What life management is, energy management. And that's all I have for you today, but let's get to your questions. Let's get some real-life solutions for your real-life problems. Floor is open. It's your turn. Go. All right. Any questions?
I have a question.
Go for it. Let me have your name. I know I have it, but still, I'd like to have them on recordings.
Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it anything that you can use or read to help you with time management, organization? And what you say makes a lot of sense. But is it something that you recommend that some kind of system or some kind of book or something that can help you get into the habit of doing these things to where it would become second nature instead of it just being difficult and just have to keep pushing yourself or just being a struggle to where you keep putting things aside, like you say, the hard stuff, and then you just look at it, have a list to feel like it's overwhelming, and then you end up not doing anything because it feels like it's almost impossible to get it done.
Yeah, so there's only one thing creates habits, that's doing it, right? So in other words, if you have a habit of, there's two things happening. One is avoiding what's scary, and the other thing is not time management. So you want to remember, one is time management is when you run out of time, but when you kind of, it's totally wrong language, but, you know, when you sissy out and kind of, it's overwhelming and you don't do it, that's something different. So I'll cover the avoidance because that's usually, that kicks you in the face, right? What I call, if I'm dealing with something that's so big, I kind of make it into small, small, small tasks. Do you have a specific thing, example, that we can work with? This will be helpful for everybody. What are you avoiding right now? That's scary.
I have a lot of responsibilities, so delegating them or organizing them is an issue for me. My work schedule is kind of a conflict, which makes it hard for me to make telephone calls during business hours because I'm working during those business hours.
That's good because no one picks up their phone during business hours anyway.
Some of the phone calls I need to make or usually have to be during business hours, and it makes it difficult for me to make those phone calls because I can't contact those people unless I'm able to call them during the business hours. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
So with the type of job that I have, I'm not allowed
to. Schedule?
8 to 5.
All right, so 8 to 5 that you don't have a phone because you actually, you know, you have a job, J-O-B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now what?
Okay, so we're not allowed to have our phones on while we're working.
good. I don't allow my employees to use their phone while they're working too. Because when you're at work, you get a, they're buying your time, so you got to give them what they pay for.
Right.
Yeah, I get that. Okay, now what?
So okay, what so my question to you is how am I going to be able to make phone calls other than taking time off? I know I'm making
calling.
Well, actually, I need to call some organizations sometime when I make them phone calls. It's, I can't contact some, I'm just being, it's just, I can't contact some people that I need to call. Okay, say like, I need to make phone calls to businesses that are related around my home or my mother's business, unless it's during business hours. Because we're responsible for taking care of my mom because she really can't do a whole lot for herself. So there's a part of that, and along with my own business, as far as personal stuff. I'm talking about personal stuff right now as far as getting those things out of the way so I can move on to other things. See, I don't want to be isolated. That's what my problem is.
I understand. So a couple things that the way that you're describing it is kind of two, three different things that all bundled into one. So sometimes this stings, but I want you to remember I'm a foreigner, so I can say stupid stuff and get away with it, right? So, yeah. So you want to kind of put on the big girl pants and then say, okay, I got to be able to do 2 hours or 3 hours of time. Because put it this way, if you were making $100,000 from real estate, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you still have an 8-to-5 job? No, because then you're doing real estate full-time, yes?
Pretty much, yes. And you sit,
right.
You kind of set your own schedule or work around other people's schedules.
Exactly right. So now for what you want to be able to tell to your mom and all the other, you know, civilians or the people who understand obligations, right? But you want to also remember, you can say, hey, I can get you someone to do all this thing for you, but I need 2 hours to make phone calls. And you put that on a calendar, and then you just work those 2 hours, and you get in the habit of that. But to me, what you're describing is something slightly different. What I would do is I'd start getting for, pick up one thing that is super easy for you to do each day, right? This is why I suggest people do meditate, because 15 minutes, you can just go and meditate. Right? So when you start doing that, you start telling your brain that, hey, I'm in charge, I can do stuff. And then it starts growing, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's, trust me, the not being able to make one phone call to one person between 8 and 5 is not the end of the world, because most people are sending people to voicemail these days. How many times do you answer the phone from a number you don't know? Zero. Now, if you answer the phone when it rings and you don't know the number, yeah, you have bigger time problems. You know what I mean? Because you're answering a phone that you don't know what it is.
Right.
Yeah. But if you're in real estate business and if you're trying to call people during business hours, that's just foolish. I'm not you as a personally, Cassandra. I'm just saying, don't make any of my business calls between 8 and 5 because people are working.
Right.
Yeah, that's why telemarketers call you at 7. That's the best time to call people. You see?
Right.
You got it. Yeah, I can feel it. So then what you do is you tell kids or, you know, family, you say, okay, today everybody's in macaroni and cheese, and you make your own. Here is Kraft. Put it in here. Follow the instructions. I'm going to make, you know, 10 phone calls. Go. And then you make your 10 phone calls.
Okay. Okay, so in other words, I'm going to have to learn how to delegate a will along with setting time aside to do what's necessary or what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yes, but you cannot delegate something that you're not doing yourself. So
no,
first,
I mean,
you gotta do it.
Okay, I mean, just like, for example, what you just said. To tell the kids the macaroni and cheese, you do this, I need to do something else.
Exactly right. Yeah, because macaroni and cheese, you tell your kids, I don't know, I'm not a parent, so but I understand, right? You go, hey, you're going to need therapy anyway, but I'm going to make money for you to go to therapy in a nice car. Is that cool? Good. Make your own macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, okay.
And they'll be fine. But, you know, stuck with carving an hour for yourself. Listen, and there's few of you on the call. If you cannot carve a half an hour for yourself, you know, if you can't just claim half an hour of your own time, that means you don't know, like, that's impossible. That's just making an excuse. So that's what you want to work on. If you can't carve some time, you want to get into that skill set. See if you can carve half an hour. Start there. Just say, you know what, 30 minutes a day, I'm going to do this stupid real estate. And then, I don't know what the hell I'm doing right now, but tomorrow, between 6 p.m. and 6:30 p.m., I'm not watching The Voice. I don't give a shit about Kardashians. And you kids are on your own. In 30 minutes, don't burn the damn house down. I got shit to do. And then you dial or you read or whatever. But do it for, you know, like 7 days straight. And then watch the world change for you.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Okay, so question, learning a new language. Just a question. I know that this maybe just off a little bit off the beat path, but it's kind of the same thing. When you want to learn a new language, and I know you said skill set, a recommendation as far as learning maybe a little bit something, or a skill set or something is a little bit more complicated. Would you break that down into maybe a couple minutes a day and work on something?
Like, give me an example. Like what? Learning Spanish?
Yeah.
Or learning new language of money?
Either. It don't matter.
Right. Something complex. I break down everything to an unbreakable smallest parts. Right? So if I'm learning new mathematical skills, I go to what's the first thing that I get to learn, and if I'm trying to learn Spanish, right, I go, okay, you know, I need to learn Spanish, so that's going to be, you know, half an hour a day or whatever. But, yeah, maybe one day a week. So if you're carving half an hour a day, let's say an hour, but you know what I mean? You can carve half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night. So now you have 1 hour a day. That's yours. And then you can go, So now you can go, you know what? Spanish is going to take a long time, especially if you don't speak the language. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to go once a week. I'm going to go for the next, you know, 2 months, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or just Thursdays. My morning half an hour time is going to be devoted to Spanish. And then I'm going to just work that schedule. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I appreciate what you're saying. It's like you're making out your own schedule. It's like as if you're working, but you're working for yourself instead of for somebody else.
Yeah, of course, because you're already working for somebody else, right? I used to tell this to people. Clearly you don't like your job. right?
Yeah.
So 8 hours a day, you're doing something that you don't want to do. And you do that for not much money. Why would you not want to do, if you're doing something you don't want to do anyway, why not do something you don't want to do, at least do it for yourself, and this way you can make money and eventually become something that you do want to do.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I look at it.
Right.
Listen, we're all slaves to something, right?
Right.
Everybody is, you know, that's welcome to the adulthood. So the idea is not to go, oh, life sucks. The idea is like, how quickly can I, you know, get rid of some of the shitty stuff to get some good stuff? And for me to be able to do that, I'm going to need money. So then I need to develop a new skill or I need to solve a bigger problem. Well, if I'm doing 8 hours for Mr. Johnson and I freaking hate Mr. Johnson, well, I'll be damned if I can't carve an hour for myself so I can tell Mr. Johnson to kiss my butt. And if there's Mr. Johnson here, I'm not referring to you on the call. I'm just saying that as a general name.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else?
Thank you, Turk.
My pleasure. Any other questions?
Turk, you said something a minute ago, and I didn't get it written down. I was wondering if you could repeat it. It was something like, if you do something you don't want to do, then do something you don't want to do that'll make you money. Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Could
so,
you repeat that?
Yeah, I can. So most people who work for someone else, most people who work for somebody else for money are doing something that they don't want to do. They do it for the money, but you're doing something that you don't want to do. So does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So if you spend 8 hours of your day or more, most of us spend more of our time doing things that we don't want to do. But we do it anyway because of stupid money or whatever. So if that's the case anyway, why not do something you don't want to do? Making that stupid phone call to the buyer's list or learning that new skill set that right now you don't want to do. But you know in the long term that it's going to pay you. So that's how I motivate myself. I worked for a guy named Ray. I hated him, right? I mean, I really hated him. He was just some dumb guy. And every day I went to work, I wanted to kill myself. You know, I was like, I need to gouge my own eyes because this guy was so stupid, and I hated myself for working for him, right? I was like, I want to kill myself. This retarded guy is ruining my life, and I work for him. And so I used to go and I go, okay, if I'm doing, you know, this stupid work for this dumb guy, well, I'll be damned if I don't do an hour of shit that I don't want to do for myself. If I'm doing it for dumb Ray, God damn it, I'm going to do it for dumb Turk. Because I know somewhere down the line, the stuff that I don't want to do right now is going to be the stuff that I'm going to be good at, and it's going to pay me so I can tell Ray to kiss my ass. So that's how I motivated myself. Excuse the language if that offends some of the listeners. I talk like that.
That's really good insight.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Turk, because that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, so a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, Ray was my last employer. I decided that I will never work for someone dumber than me. Right? So I said, if a boss is dumber than me, I'm not doing that job. And hear me out on this, really. if you go to a doctor tomorrow and your doctor says, hey, you have cancer, you have 6 months to live, your job just became insignificant. So don't wait till you have cancer to take charge of your life. Because then it's kind of, you're trying to catch up. Right? People
right.
that annoys you is what gives you cancer. Anger, stress, what kills you. So idea is to free up your brain power to do fun things. And hear me out on this. If you have to have a job that right now that you don't have an option, and if you keep going to your own job and hating life, right? Now I know that we're coming, this is the opposite of, you know, the rating, but if you have to be at a job, you might as well find something that you like about that job. If nothing else, you want to be like, well, at least it's paying the money, right? And then this way, you're actually kind of saying, okay, you know, at least this is serving a purpose right now, so you're not punching yourself in the eye. But never lose your sight of the prize, what you're trying to do. And if you're not working on a job that is not teaching you a skill that you need to quit. You need to get a job in a place where they're teaching you the skill set that you're trying to get. That's really critical. Don't have a job just for money, because that's stupid. When I say just for money, it should be just for money plus a skill, plus knowledge, plus connection. If it's just a job because it's paying, only thing that's giving you is money, you're desperate. You need to develop your skills. And best way to develop your skills, get a job somewhere where that skill is being taught.
That's good.
Yeah. So I've always been an entrepreneur. I've started businesses, and I bankrupt a lot of them, a lot of businesses. And so when I fail a business, I had the humility and wisdom enough to figure out what is it that I did that caused business to, you know, collapse. I could, you know, one of the businesses that coincided with September 11 time frame, I was like, I could certainly blame it on September 11. Then there's no wisdom there. I go, okay, what did I not know? Oh, I didn't know I had enough money so I could actually last when shit hits the fan, that I could last. So I'm like, where did they teach these skills? So my next job was in a company that they teach you about P&L, cash flow, and things like that. So I look for a job that has that skill set, and I go and say, remember what I was saying. If you're going to do what you don't want to do anyway, if you have to do stuff that you don't want to do, might as well get something out of it. And so I'll go slave in a company that's teaching me a skill set, and then I know in 6 months I can tell them to kiss my butt and try another business. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A job is the only thing it does, it gives you money. Meaning, if you're just working a job that's just giving you money, well, that's just like, you're not doing yourself a benefit.
Well,
because you're never going to make more money than your boss. I mean, that's how the system is set up. My employees don't make more money than I do. I make the biggest money because I'm the boss. Right? So, but
right.
What they get from me is they get wisdom, they learn how to be entrepreneurs, I develop them, and I do all that, so they understand that at one point, when they're done with me, right, they understand. They're like, oh, yeah, Turk was a badass boss. He demanded a lot, but I learned all these skill sets that I can use. That's what you want. When you go to your job, you want to be like, okay, what can I learn from this? Even if you're right now in a horrible job that you want to get out, right? You want to go to that job and say, hey, what can I learn from here? What is it? Because if they hired you, right, they're doing something, they're delegating things to you. So you want to figure out what they're delegating, who's doing the delegating, and what skill set do they have that you don't have. Anyone else?
Kirk?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Joyce in New York. Are your calls available on replay?
Yes.
How?
Customer service at LarryGoins.com. They'll send a copy of this tomorrow or next day.
Oh.
But the archives are available wherever you guys keep your inner circle stuff. I'm sorry, I'm not an inner circle student. But you email customer service at LarryGoins.com and ask that question, I'm sure someone can assist you.
Okay. You were speaking of time management, and I think many times people can carve the time out, but when you first begin, if you don't have a system in place or you don't know what, you just don't know where to begin, so you end up wasting the time because you're fearful. But once you do something and it works, you could do it again. It's like a recipe. It's like following a recipe to cook. The first time you make something, you don't know it that well and you're unsure, but then you can do it without looking at the cookbook.
You're exactly right. I use the analogy of equation because I don't bake stuff, but you're exactly right. Once you understand equation, then you just put the numbers in, it works. And you're right, time management is just like that. And that's why I preach meditation. I mean, for a variety of reasons, but it teaches your brain that, hey, I'm in charge here. I'm going to calm myself for 15 minutes, and I'm going to sit on my ass, and I'm going to breathe, and it's only 15 minutes. But what happens is you're starting with a win. You're saying, hey, I'm in charge of my time. And then that develops into, I can carve another 15 minutes. I can carve another hour. I can now do two hours. Say, I can claim my Saturdays. Yeah, you're exactly right. So you always start small.
Yeah, well, I'm a very capable person, and if I'm busy, I can take care of everything. But because I don't have a system set up for this, I just can't seem to get started. And I know I have to do it one small step at a time, but it's a little difficult because it's the unknown. That's what I'm struggling with, just beginning.
Yeah, so what is unknown?
Excuse me?
What is unknown for you, Joyce?
I think maybe mixing real estate functions with a computer. Like, I know that if I call a broker and get certain things, when I look at these different houses online, they all look like crap to me. I just don't know where to begin.
I understand. So, you haven't done a deal yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. So, I know, yeah, so... That is the, you know, first deal was, I remember when I had my first deal, and I was like, it was, it's like, I get a deal. I was like so excited. I called my wife, like, we get a deal. And they were like, crap, what do we do now? Because, each step comes with its own new vantage point, and it's an unknown thing. So I suggest writing. Put everything that is on your, everything that you think of, just put it on a list. Writing it down yourself is better than looking at a big binder that somebody else has written.
Yes. See that.
Yeah, and if you don't know how to, the ongoing joke for, and you live in New York City?
Yes.
Okay. So the ongoing joke for us was the more horrible the house is, better, more money there is, right? But that's only true if you have a team that can fix a problem. Does that make sense? But, you know, Christian and I used to joke, we're like, oh, where's the dead body? Like, ooh, if there's a dead body, that's great, more money. And well, again, that's only if you know how to do a rehab.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
no, I don't want to begin with rehab.
Right. So you understand how that goes? So now you can go, okay, I know that I don't want to do that. So now you can go, you can just discard. If you don't want to start with rehab, you can just wipe out the whole part of that list that, you know, involving retail business. Does that make sense? Rehab business. And then concentrate on things. So now it can be like, okay, now if I'm going to just flip a house, now I know I need to build a buyer's list. Mm-hmm. And once I have my buyer's list, and that's my buyer's list is going to tell me what kind of house that they're looking for. So now when you're looking at the houses, you're looking at the houses for them, not for you. And now that is overwhelming because that is like fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Only thing that we're doing is we're changing your psyche into be more receptive mode so you can actually kind of go, huh, it's not really so bad. So now I can make a phone call or now I can look at the houses.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, I will try that.
Writing one place for all your information. And my black notebook that is with me is with me all the time. It's right now I'm looking at it. It's on my lap.
Yes.
Earlier, it was in my car. When I went to the movies today, I checked it off. Like, it was actually, I had it today, go to movies. So I went to see a movie. And I checked it off. And so it's, and I, when people that are around me, they know if it's not in the book, it's not happening.
I see.
So if I'm somewhere, if we're talking, my employees, even my wife will say, hey, write it down. Because if it's not written, I tell people, if you don't see me writing here, and if I'm not telling you, if we're on the phone, and if I'm not telling you I'm writing it down, I promise you, this is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm free.
I see.
And my notebook goes with me everywhere. There's not, it's at all times, it's with me.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow morning, after meditation, first thing that I'm going to read is going to be my notebook.
Mm-hmm. And when you meditate, is your mind blank?
Quieting of the mind? That's an important skill. I do that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always achieve it, but yes, that's the goal.
To have a clear mind and just breathe.
Yeah, so I usually meditate, not usually, every day, 15 minutes. You don't need more than 15 minutes of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ticking clock. I sit somewhere and just listen to the ticking clock. And when my mind goes over, you know, how much I hate my neighbor, which I don't, but you know what I mean, or should I gotta do that, or yesterday's phone call sucked, or I go, ticking clock, ticking clock. Start thinking about the ticking clock. And then I inhale, exhale, and I start my timer on my phone, 15 minutes. And then when it stops, it stops. It's usually 13 minutes of screaming, 2 minutes of peace.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure, yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Have any questions or any specific things you want to talk about? Cool. Next call is going to be on the 16th of October. Is there a subject that you would like covered? You are a quiet bunch. So you don't want to, you don't have any burning desire, any issues that you want to solve?
Oh, this is my first call. What are you able to speak about?
Anything that is important to you as far as personal development, psychology, winning. Mm-hmm. What is the stigma? Let's talk about money. You guys want to talk about money, how the money works?
Well, that sounds interesting, yes.
Right? Cool. Let's
That's good.
That. Yeah. So 16th October, 9 p.m. So these are, we call them ASAP, Advanced Success Accountability Program. Again, I'm a personal development coach. I do consulting and coaching for high-level achievers. Again, I worked with Larry Goins in the past. This, he paid for this. This is, you know, no sales. I'm not selling you anything. I'm here to help you become better successful investors. He wants to brag about your deals. Please take action. If you're not taking action, you're wasting your time, you're wasting my time, and this is really nice. I already got paid, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to maximize your gains from this stuff. Does that make sense? So don't be passive, like, oh, that's really interesting, and then tomorrow, like, this call never took place. I mean, you can do it that way. But that means that in 10 years from now, you're going to be in the same place you're in. And that's a really sucky life, right? So the idea is we really want to grow because we need you growing. We need smart people who are making money, not stuck in jobs. In being an entrepreneur, being an investor, you really have a duty to your fellow people, the humanity, to be as rich as you can be, as healthy as you can be, as successful as you can be, so you can be example for others. You can be example to your neighbors. You can be example to your family members. You can actually be example to people who look up to you and say, yeah, I want to be like that one day. So you can actually motivate other people. Being successful is actually your birthright. You're designed that way. But anytime that you don't do it, anytime that you're not trying to reach your goals, is when you feel like shit. That's the only time when you turn your back on your source. So the thought process is that these are ASAP, Advanced Success Accountability Program. This is for you to actually develop your investor, entrepreneur skill sets. And then being a real estate investor is only one tool. But you're so much more than that. You're so much more than your job. You're so much more than your, you know, investor. You're so much more than a mom and a wife and a husband and a brother. You encompass a whole bunch of different things, different potentials, different qualities. And being an investor, being an entrepreneur, what you're trying to do is stop working for other people and spend more time for the things that you want to do. And so my help, my objective here is to help you get there as soon as you're able. But, you know, only action is action.
Yes.
You know, so that's how it goes. All right. So we have these calls, again, twice a month, first and third Monday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Next one is going to be on the 16th of October, 9 p.m. We'll start fresh, and we're going to talk about money. Money is a form of energy. There are three things about money that you want to remember. There are three things. How to make money, how to keep money, and how to grow money. So these are three separate things. There are a lot of people who know how to make a lot of money, but they don't know how to keep them. They're broke, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who don't know how to make money, so they can't even keep it. And some people who know how to keep it, but they can't grow it. And then, so what good is $1,000 in a bank? What good is $100,000 in a bank? Right? So these are all skill sets. And so you as an investor, you want to kind of work on those things. And that's all about the mindset, setting your mind and understanding the velocity of money and how the money works. And we'll cover that on in 2 weeks. My name is Turk Akbay.
I look forward to that very much.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it myself.
Okay.
My name is Turk Akbay. Easiest way to find me on the social media is hashtag Turkism. I have multiple websites. I live a very social life. Your feedback is always appreciated. Please let Larry know what is really good, what you love about these things, and let me know what sucks about these things, because I can fix them. And he likes to know that you guys are actually getting some benefit from shit ton of money that he paid to me to help you guys out.
Okay. How do you spell Turkism?
Turkism.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting up with you guys in 2 weeks. Please be safe. And, you know, inhale, exhale, repeat as needed. Remember, life is a one-way street. We're all going to die very soon, much sooner than we wish. So just make it count. Each day is a gift.
Well said. Thank you.
My pleasure. With your permission, let's end the call tonight. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.